Enjoy your presence this morning. Gosh, it's so good to be in it, Lord, to enjoy what you have given us, Lord. There's joy in your presence. Father, it is refreshing, Father, in your presence. And Father, I thank you for that. Just rework us inside, Lord, in our spirits. Let us connect with you and let things just flow from the Spirit today as we press in. May we receive it, Lord, and not just take in knowledge, but actually understand where we take it beyond knowing about it, but we actually apply what we receive, Lord. We thank you for that. And just pray, just open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts to be able to receive it this morning, Lord. We love you. We praise you for it. And thank you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So let's talk about being led by the Spirit of God. Okay, as I am reading my Bible, so often during the week, I'm reading just for a personal read, you know, not studying or anything, and I'm just reading through, and all of a sudden, a verse, a passage, you know, something just leaps off the page at me. And I'm just like, wow, that is so intense. I've never seen it in that light before. And then as the week goes on, later on in the week, I might be reading in a completely different part of the Bible, completely different author, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, that totally connects with what I read the other day that I had never seen that. And so now I start seeing things from this different light. Well, lo and behold, that's where this deep-rooted message that I see that God wants to get across to the body of Christ. And so it ends up getting put into sermon format at some point. Okay, well, it reminds me how the Word of God is, the Bible says of itself that it is quick and powerful. Okay, quick means alive, right? So the Word of God is alive. And so even though we've read something 100 times, it might be this time as we're reading it that it is quickened. It is made alive in our spirit. And we see that the Word of God is spiritual. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Okay, so as we read that, we get something new from that. And the life from that connects with ours. And next thing you know, we have life change start taking place in our life. Something is, we understand something that we've been reading and never understood it fully before. Okay, well, the Word of God being alive makes it life changing. Okay, so a long story short, here's the passage that sparked this message that God has for you today. It's in Romans chapter 8, which out of all the chapters in the Bible, this is one of my favorites. I know I say that about a lot, but Romans chapter 8 is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. I recommend reading it and reading it and reading it. You'll get more out of it every time. But Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 12, we'll read 12 through 14, says this. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, and Spirit is capital S, note there, that means Holy Spirit. This is the big dog, right? This isn't just a spirit of spirits. This is the capital S, Holy Spirit. But he says, but if you through the Holy Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Okay, that word body literally means the flesh, right? Okay. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay, now I'm going to read that last verse again, and I'm going to put an emphasis on one word, and you'll understand what jumped out at me as I was reading this a couple weeks ago. Okay. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Think of that. The ones that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Or you could say the children of God. Okay, they are. That means to me, that has put this huge importance on being led by the Spirit of God. I want to be they. Right? I want to be the child of God. Okay? So I want that to be me. And so therefore it became such an important thing that if they are the sons of God or the children of God that are led by the Spirit, then I want to be led by the Spirit. That just that quickened in my spirit. Okay, now I've got several points for you this morning. I think there's 7 altogether. And the first point is this, just basically what we just read. The first point says, in order to be considered a child of God, you need to be led by the Spirit of God. How many know there are people in our society right now that say, I'm a Christian, but they are not led by the Spirit of God? Okay, and in the end, they're going to be the ones that Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Okay, they were not led by the Spirit. They did not connect with Him in a spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Okay, we are to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Okay, they that are led by the Spirit are the ones that are connected with God. Okay, now, I've been trying to keep in the forefront of your mind over the last few months that there is a separation that is going on right now in the body of Christ between the goats and the sheep. Okay, I don't know if you remember, I think it was January 3rd or whenever our first message was of the year, but that was the word for this year, is that there's a separation taking place this year. Something is happening. Something is changing. Those that are not actually sold out for God are going to be exposed. I see it happening. You could just see it. The devil is not even trying to hide himself anymore. People are coming out and holding up their 666 sign or dressing up like a demon and singing for the Grammys or whatever it is. It's just flagrant. It is in your face. There's no hiding it anymore. And you're starting to see this separation where the people that are not led by the Spirit of God are just going off along with it. Caught up in all that. They that are led by the Spirit of God will not. Let's read a passage. I want to show you what I mean by the separation. Matthew 25, verse 31 through 34. Jesus says this. He says, when the Son of Man, notice capital S, Jesus, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King, notice capital K, this is Jesus, then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Okay, and just for time's sake, I didn't put in the whole rest of the chapter that talks about the separation and what happens to the goats. Okay, and it goes a little deeper into what happens with the sheep as well. It's good stuff for the sheep. Okay, the sheep, us, are being prepped right now for this process that is taking place or going to take place in the future. Okay, as far as, now this is talking about the day of the Lord. When the Lord returns, it is a done deal. There's no more saying, wait a minute, I want to be in the other group at that point. Okay, God will give many, many opportunities between now and that moment, but people are not always taking that. Okay, those who are led by their soul, led by their flesh, okay, the ones that are not being led by the Spirit of God are quickly going to be discovered. Okay, and in that day, it'll be, Jesus just names it. Okay, this one's in, that one, sorry, he didn't. Second point. We read in that verse about how through the Spirit you do mortify or put to death the deeds of the flesh. Second point is, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we destroy ungodliness from our lives. Okay, now the Holy Spirit isn't going to do this for you. Okay, we love the Holy Spirit. We talk about being led by the Spirit and walking in Him and all these things, but He does not do things for you necessarily. Okay, what He will do is set you up for 100% complete success. Okay, He's given you everything you need that pertains unto life and godliness. Okay, we have it right at our fingertips. The Holy Spirit will present you with the way to escape out of every temptation. Not one temptation, according to what I read in the Bible, can the Holy Spirit not provide a way out of. He does it over and over and over again. He will prompt you to step out in faith. Okay, to walk the walk, in other words, to... You're not just talking the talk, I'm a Christian. Now you're walking the walk. You're walking by faith. The Holy Spirit will be leading, prompting you to do that on a regular basis. He'll give you that opportunity, okay, to be able to step out, take a small risk, whatever it is. The Holy Spirit then gives you the strength and the ability to do all things through Christ, I'm going to know that scriptural, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I go into the Father, I will send you the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's our empowerment. That's how we get to walk in the strength of the Lord. Okay, now the verse that we read a few minutes ago says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, why is it so important to utilize the Holy Spirit's power to keep you from ungodliness? I mean, some would say, you know, Pastor, I've heard you preach on grace before, that we're saved by grace through faith, right? So what does it matter if I have a little bit of fleshly driven sin in my life? What does it matter if I'm not there? You know, I still got, you know, I made some improvements, but I still got a room to go. I know that. We all could probably admit that. Okay, but so people are asking themselves, what does it matter if I have a little sin in my life? Okay, we've got grace, right? Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So I got sin in my life, so grace will abound, right? No, it doesn't work that way. Okay, the passage that we read clearly tells us that if you live after the flesh, you will die. If you live after the flesh, you will die. Okay, now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to literally die instantly if you allow your flesh to rule your life. How many know? It doesn't happen all the time. I see many people living according to the flesh, okay, and they haven't been struck dead instantly. They haven't keeled over. Okay, they put themselves into scenarios where it may shorten their life, however. Okay, if you want to, whatever, run with the wrong crowds, get hooked on meth, you're going to shorten your life. Okay, if you want to fulfill the fleshly desire you have in your mind to drive 120 miles an hour across Rollins every day, you are going to shorten your life, okay, or at least spend it somewhere else besides out on the streets. Okay, you have that opportunity to yield to those desires, and there are physical things, okay, that it can be shortened in your life. Your physical life can be seriously shortened. But what that is referring to when it says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die, but if you through the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh, that you will live, what it is referring to is your spiritual life. Okay, your walk with God, in other words, is affected when you live according to your flesh. Okay, it is slowly killing and putting to death your spiritual walk with God. The longer that you allow yourself to remain in sin and to fulfill your fleshly desires. If you think it doesn't matter, it does. Okay, sin is a literal disease that does not go away on its own. It doesn't get better. It's a literal disease that just gets worse. Okay, the end of sin is death. The Bible even says that, right, in Romans? Living in sin or keeping a little bit of it around will never get better. It's only going to get worse. It affects your relationship with God. And anything that does that, we don't want it. Don't want it getting in the way. Number three, God's ultimate desire, God the Father's ultimate desire for you is that you walk in holiness. You look up the word holiness in a concordance, it's in there numerous times in the New Testament. More than I even imagined. When I first looked it up, I was like, whew, I didn't know it was that much of an expectation. It's in there over and over and over again. God's goal is that you are not just a little bit better than you were before. Okay, God, that's good that we made some progress, but God's goal is holiness. Okay, if you say you were sleeping around all the time as a lost person and whatever, you're into all this stuff, and now you don't do that, but you still look at pornography. It's a step in the right direction. At least you're not out there doing it to somebody else in a physical way, but you're still sinning. Don't quit. Don't think you've arrived yet. Don't settle for that. Okay, let's say you used to be hooked on cocaine, whatever, and now maybe you're just hooked on nicotine or weed or whatever it is. Don't quit yet. Okay, do you see what I'm saying? God's desire is true holiness, not a better life. He doesn't want you just a little bit better. He wants you perfect like He is perfect. The Bible says that. Be ye perfect, for I am perfect. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what God said. That's what His Word says. He never intended us to get to a point where we quit. Okay, and I'm going to tell you this. This goes deep into the worldview culture that we're dealing with in society right now. Because there's this thing where if you could push God out of the picture and become a God unto yourself, I don't have to change. I can live my life however I want to live, and nobody can tell me otherwise. And so they don't see the need to get any better. I'm telling you, our Heavenly Father, as a Christian believer, wants us to continually get better, 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 better. Okay, get that junk out of your life that is not of God. Okay, that's His goal. Let me show you a scripture. This is in Hebrews chapter 12, talking about the Father. Okay, and it uses that reference both in a physical sense, your natural Father, okay, as well as our Father God. Look at this verse, this passage in Hebrews 12. Starting in verse 7, we'll read through 14. It says, if you endure chastening, okay, that's training, discipling, correction. Okay, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, okay, that's in the natural, which corrected us, and we gave them reference. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father, capital S, of spirits, and live? For they, verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Okay, but he for our profit, and emphasis here is mine, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Okay, so God corrects us. God speaks to us, uses me, uses your Bible, uses preachers, uses a podcast, whatever it is, uses your best friend, somebody that's speaking into your life to help you, to help correct you so that you can be a partaker of God's holiness. Okay, that's where we're going. Verse 11, it says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Amen to that, right? But it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man or woman shall see the Lord. Do you see that? That's pretty, I didn't make it up. Without holiness, you don't get to see God. How important is that then? In other words, it says you want to, quote, make straight paths for your feet. That means I'm paying attention to where my feet are going. Okay, a straight path. I'm walking on the straight and narrow path. Right? There's a wide gate that leads to destruction, but a narrow gate that leads unto life. Okay? So straight paths for your feet. Walking down the straight and narrow path. Walking in holiness, in order to see what the Lord is doing in your life, in order to see what He's already done in your life, in order to have testimony, you have to acknowledge what God has already done. And then in order to acknowledge or to see God right now, I have to live with this mentality that God is at work right now. And in order to see that future, I'm going to have to walk in holiness. Okay, so let's define holiness. What does holiness mean? Holiness is literally the state of being holy. Okay, there's no better definition than that. Okay, but the word that's used for holy in the Bible has a few different kind of connotations with it. Holiness is defined as an attribute of the Spirit of God, capital S. Holiness comes from the Holy Spirit. Why do we call Him the Holy Spirit? Because He's holy, right? Holiness comes from the Holy Spirit. Everybody, etch that into your brain. That's pretty simple. Holiness comes from the Holy Spirit. When holiness is applied to God's people, when that reference is used to God's people, it describes a state of purity that the people are expected to achieve and encouraged to share by living out of a distinctive, set-apart life in the presence of God. Okay, now the New Testament, when it uses that word holiness, it uses this term to point to high moral standards to the extent of being, quote, blameless and pure. To be attained both as an inner quality, something Holy Spirit does on the inside and works its way out, but something to be attained both as an inner quality and as an outward behavior displayed in our daily lives. In other words, I can't just say I'm holy because Holy Spirit is in me. I need to display that as well. Okay, in other words, holiness for the Christian believer is our lifelong goal as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Pursue it. Seek it. So how does holiness and being led by the Spirit of God go together? Okay, I'm glad you asked, because I would like to help you connect these two. Stick with me on this, because this is the part where we're going to take holiness and connect it to the Holy Spirit's leading. Okay, how does He do that? How does He empower us? Jesus said, I'm going to send you the power. How does that happen? Okay, number four. The believer should never cease to strive to live a life that glorifies God. Okay, this is what I said. The lost world that is going further from God right now has none of this conscience that I should not do this because it's wrong. I should not whatever, fill in the blank, because it's against God. The lost world is trying to push God out of the picture so they do not have to have those thoughts in their mind. Why? Because that's called conscience. Okay, that's called being able to recognize that, beating my dog into a bloody pulp is wrong. Okay, or what's the latest thing? I don't know if you guys you want to know this. The latest thing is they're talking about bestiality. Okay, it was just legalized in one country. I can't remember which country it was. They just legalized it so that it's no longer a crime as long as the dog or whatever doesn't have to go to the vet. That's what they said was okay. The only way that you can be okay with that, see, some people are grossed out by that, and rightfully so, because we have a conscience as a Christian that we know, because God gave us this, that we know that that's wrong, right? But if you push God out of the picture, it's no longer wrong. It's, I'm going to fulfill whatever makes me feel good. Who cares about animals or whatever? Okay, do you see that? Don't get caught into that, because that's the way the world's going right now. The believer should never cease to strive to live a life that glorifies God. One verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Here's how I know that that should be our goal. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What does that depart mean? Turn away from, steer away from iniquity, sin, ungodliness, whatever it is. Depart from iniquity. If we name Christ, that means I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christ follower, I'm a disciple of Jesus. If we say that about ourselves, we are to depart from iniquity. Enough said? I think we get that, right? Number five, the true follower of Jesus Christ will seek to separate themselves from anything that is unclean, unholy, or ungodly. Okay, separating ourselves from stuff that is not good for us. We separate ourselves from bestiality, correct? I'm just telling you to do that. That's a good thing. Do separate yourself from that, okay? Among other things, right? Separate yourself from the things that are unclean, unholy, and ungodly. The way we find that out, God's Word will convict us. The Word of God is good for that. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Cuts through the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It helps us to be able to understand what is of God and what is not. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 16 through 18, tells us pretty plainly, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's the same they, right? that we want to be, they are the sons of God. It's the same they. Wherefore, it says, verse 17, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We don't separate ourselves from the unclean and the unholy so that we can become a child of God. We separate ourselves from those things because we are a child of God. Okay, it's not a work of performance here. We're not going to get God to do something because we did something. Oh, I'm going to quit doing this and then God will show up in my life. It doesn't work that way. We separate ourselves because we are who we are. We're a child of the Most High God. We're a believer, a Christian. Okay, when you were born again, you were born of the Spirit. The Bible says you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we pressed into the uniqueness of our body, soul, and spirit. Okay, your soul is that mind, will, and emotions, your attitudes, your personalities, that stuff that gets us into trouble so often. Okay, we know that in order to fulfill the will and ways of God, we need to be governed by and led by the Spirit of God that is deep within us. That Spirit has to go through our soul to get to our body, to get to the outside. Okay, so what is in our spirit needs to come through. We got to let that come through and be led by that. Galatians 5:16 and 17 says, Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, capital S, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Simple, right? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you want to do or that you know you need to do. Okay? It's about suppressing the flesh and letting the Spirit live through you. Okay? When you live and walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Your soul, okay, that desires and thinks about and leads you to do things that are not of God must be dominated by the Spirit of God. Okay, it needs to be dominated to the point that the Spirit of God is what flows through. Your mind, will, and emotions are suppressed to the point the Spirit of God can flow through you so that you can do the things that you need to do to successfully walk out your faith in Christ. Okay, now this is called living a fruitful life. Okay, remember I'm telling you, hang with me, okay, how you get the Spirit to live through you. What does that look like? What is this power? What's in there? What are we supposed to let out? Okay, so watch this because we're going to tie in now how that Holy Spirit, how He helps you to live right. Okay, Jesus said this in John 15:8. He said, herein is my Father, God, glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As he was sharing the parable of the sower and the seed, Jesus said this, Matthew 13:23. He said, but he that received the seed, or the word of God, into good ground, is he that hears the word and understandeth it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. Okay, it is about letting the fruit of the Holy Spirit manifest in your life. That fruit that is produced comes from deep inside of you. You already have it. You have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you. It's a matter of letting that come to the surface, letting it come out. Okay, it comes from the Spirit. Fruitfulness is essentially the Bible's description for success. It means you're producing something of gain. It speaks of productivity, advancement. Okay, it's the opposite of decline and decay. Okay, fruit represents a divine increase through your life. Okay, that means as you produce fruit, we're increasing our capacity to touch and influence the people around us for the kingdom of God. Okay, we are influencing them with the fruit that comes through us. The Spirit within us is the source of our fruit. Okay, this is where holiness comes from, is through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Is where holiness comes from. It's from that fruit. Okay, now this is the spirit within us is in conflict with and yet able to overpower the flesh. Your spirit is stronger than the flesh. It is stronger than the flesh. Remember what, didn't Jesus say something like that? The spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Even Jesus says the flesh is weak. Okay, if the spirit is willing, then we need to get willing. Okay, your mind, will, and emotions. Get in agreement with the Holy Spirit and say, you know what? I'm going to let the fruit of the Spirit come through my life instead of the fruit of the opposite of that. Okay, you know, the fruit we are to, let's read this, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Jumping ahead of myself. Let's read the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Anybody heard that before? God is love. Love is good. Okay, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, you could call patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, or faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Okay, temperance, what's temperance? Self-control. It's in ya. Self-control is in ya. Okay, against such these things there is no law. The fruit that we are allowed to rise up and manifest through us is love and not hate. Okay, it is love and not revenge. Okay, it is joy and gladness rather than anger and discontent. Those are not fruits of the Holy Spirit. Those are fruits of the flesh. We are to let the Holy Spirit fruit of peace rise to the surface, not strife and division. Okay, that would be at works of the flesh. We are to be patient and kind, gentle as doves, right? Wise as serpents, like Jesus said. We are to be flowing with goodness and benevolence. Okay, that's literally where that is rooted in. It's benevolence, it's giving, it's generosity instead of greed and selfishness, which are rooted in your flesh. We let the fruit of the Spirit come out, which is benevolence and generosity and giving and love and peace. We exercise self-restraint and we apply patience and wisdom and discernment. Okay, rather than living a me-centered life, we strive for unity, for togetherness. Okay, we let the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which has been given to us, we let that flow through us. That love is in us. The Bible tells us that. And the Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has fruit. The Holy Spirit is producing divine advancement, divine good things. Okay, we got to let that out. Okay, number six, I'll finish this up. We do not determine, this is an important one, because this is where people count themselves out of the picture. We do not determine our holiness by comparing ourselves to others. Anybody ever been called holier than thou? I've been called that. Or said that, whatever too. And it's not really called, but. Okay, we do not determine our holiness by comparing ourselves to other people. Okay, now watch this in Galatians chapter 5. Remember we just read the fruits of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is peace, love, joy, all those things. The next verse, this is where we're getting to. It says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. For if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Okay, it's not about comparing the fruit that's coming from my life to the fruit that's coming from Margie's life. Okay, it's not about comparing my life to somebody else. It's not about comparing your life to my life. Okay, that's not where it's at. We are not to be provoking or desirous of vainglory to be able to say, I'm walking in more holiness than you are. Okay, it's not about that. We don't want to get caught up in that. That's a carnal and fleshly trap. Okay, to compare ourselves to each other to see if we're doing okay. How am I doing in relation to so-and-so? Well, I'm failing miserably. Okay, or I'm doing pretty good. I didn't do what so-and-so did. Boy, they just got in big trouble. Da, da, da. That's not where it's at. Okay, trying to compare yourself to others doesn't work. I would suggest if you want to try a comparison, try comparing yourself to your Savior for a minute, and you'll find out that you haven't arrived yet. Okay, that you still have more submitting to Jesus Christ that you can do. Okay, there's still more of your life you can yield to Him. Okay, Galatians chapter 6. Now I'm going to show this. This is 5:24-26. The next verse, okay, we're still in this train of thought from the fruit of the Spirit into not comparing ourselves to others. Read this in Galatians 6:1-4. He says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual," okay, led by the Spirit, "restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." But get this last verse. "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another." In other words, I can't compare myself to somebody and think I'm somebody because I'm better than they are. It says, compare yourself. What does it say? It says, every man prove his own work. Okay, not prove yourself against somebody else. You're not in a contest with other believers. I know we think we are sometimes. That, boy, if we could just be like that, or I want to do better, or be like that person, or whoo, I'm way better than that person, whatever your view is. Okay. You will stand alone before God, just like your counterparts will. Okay, this is a one-on-one. That term, proving your own work, is something between you and God. Okay, it is how you act. Okay, not how you act in comparison to other people. You live differently. You have your stand before God, your relationship with Him, so that you can rejoice in it alone, it says. In other words, nobody else has to tell me where I'm at with God, because I'm yielded to Him. He's the one I'm comparing to, and I'm saying, Lord, I need more of You. I got to have more of You. Okay, we're not in a contest with other believers. Last point this morning, number 7. Here's the good news. Okay, that could be kind of hard. How do we get there? Okay, the Holy Spirit's our fruit. We got to let Spirit out. Okay, everything that God is asking of you, He's already provided you with. You are not empty-handed. Okay, you are not like, oh, how am I going to get there? You've already got there. It's a matter of letting that stuff come through you. Peace, love, joy, self-control, they're all part of the Holy Spirit who came into your life. Okay, in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says, "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Okay, to be led by the Spirit, you get life and peace. Okay, in Hebrews 12:14. It says to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Romans 14:16-19 says this, last verse. It says, "Let not then your heart, your good, be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Okay, where does joy come from? It's one of the fruits of the Holy. Okay, "For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." In other words, when I have this relationship with God and my life is about Him, I do my work unto Him, I live my life for Him and from Him and to Him and of Him, I'll be approved by others as well. Okay, last verse there says, 19, it says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things whereof one may edify another." Okay, you follow peace, you follow joy, you follow holiness when you're led by the Spirit of God. You'll be inclined to follow after those things. Remember, you're being led by the Spirit, taken by the hand and led by the Spirit. How do we follow after the fruit of the Spirit? How do we get that to come through us? It's because Holy Spirit is dragging us right into joy and peace and love and good stuff. Okay, we let the Spirit lead. And He'll take us right into these kinds of things. Okay, when you strive to allow the fruit of the Spirit to flow through you, you'll be constantly subduing the flesh instead of quenching the Spirit. Okay, instead of suppressing the spiritual things of God, you'll be suppressing your flesh, and you're going to see more of the Lord in your life. Stop settling for just a little bit of the Lord in your life. Okay, don't settle yet. Don't stop yet. Some of you got more time and years in the Lord than I do, and I'm still, whatever, 28, 29 years, and I'm still seeking the Lord. I got to have more. I got to get more out. Okay? God has brought you this far. He has helped you to overcome in many areas of your life up to this point, but He's not done yet. Okay? Seek to get more of the stuff out of your life that is not from Him. Okay? Now, He doesn't necessarily bless you more just because you do that. He's not like playing the third grade game. I'll do this for you if you'll do this for me. Okay? God doesn't play that game. Okay? But here's what happens. When you get more of the stuff out of your life that is not of God, you're going to see the things of God more clearly. Okay? That means you'll be making fewer mistakes. That means you'll be making better choices. That means you'll be avoiding sin more. Okay? You'll be walking in the righteousness and the godliness that He has for you. It means that you will understand the purpose of your life. Okay? It's like the sin and iniquity in your life is a cloud, or is clouding your ability to see the things of God clearly. Okay? It's hard to see what God has done and what He's doing in your life. Okay? Remember, there's an old song. Was it Huey Lewis or somebody that had the song? It said, my future's so bright, I got to wear shades. Okay? But if your shades are too dark, you can't see your future. Okay? They didn't have that line in there. If anybody walk into a room with dark shades on, what do you usually do? Just pick that up or take them off? You know, I go in the shop to get some tools or whatever, and it's bright out, and I go into the shop and it's a dark room. I got to take those off or I can't find what I'm looking for. Okay, if you got this sin and iniquity in your life, it's like this clouded vision that you got. And we take that off when we get rid of the sin and iniquity out of our life. Okay, that's kind of like what it's like when we get those things out of your life. It's like taking that off so you can see clearly. It makes it easier to see the truths of who you are now as a believer. Okay, it allows you to be led by the Spirit. It allows the fruit of the Spirit to then be produced, to come right through your life. I think that 30, 60, 100-fold Jesus was talking about, I think it's just who's willing to rip those things off. Who's willing to get that stuff out? The more you do, the more you get that junk out, the purer life you try to live, you're trying to live in holiness, the more of that you will see the things of God. You will be producing fruit. Yeah, you won't have a care in the world when it comes to whether somebody's persecuting you or they're going to talk bad about you because you're into Jesus or whatever. You don't care. You're walking in the right things of God, and it makes a difference in your life. You can live it out. That's what God has called you to. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Father, we do thank You this morning. I want to just praise the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Savior, Lord Jesus. We exalt You this morning. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit You gave to us. Thanks that we can now walk in this because we're partaking of Your holiness, Lord. We choose today to get rid of some stuff in our life. We get rid of the things that are holding us back, the things that are not of You, the past, the wounds, the things that, Father, that we can let go of, the mistakes that we've made, the sins or things that are in our life right now that we need to let go of, Father, we can let go of that through Your power. And we praise You for it. We look forward to it, Lord. We're just letting go. Today is a day of freedom in the name of Jesus. Today is a day of freedom in the name of Jesus. We can walk it out. We walk in Your power. We walk in Your presence. We thank You for Your work in our life. We thank You You're finishing what You've started. And today we receive that, Lord. We're walking away different. We're walking away willing to get things out. And more than willing, we're walking away with the intention and the capacity and the willpower, all the things that You've given us to be able to push those things out of our life. Lord, we choose holiness. We want to see God. We want to see You. Father, we praise You for it. We thank You in Jesus' name. We say, amen. Amen and amen. Amen and amen.